Let's turn now in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, we'll be looking at the last beatitude and verses 10 through 12. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. And before we read the word of the Lord, let's pray and ask for His help for all of us. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, again we come boldly to Your throne. And Father, we ask that we would also come reverently with awe of Your great wonders. And yet with that holy fear, that we would not come too easily before Your throne. And yet boldly in Christ. Father, help us as we now hear You speak to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. May You give us ears to hear and eyes to see Him, that we would follow Him in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 10. These are God's words. They are sufficient for your life, but also for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. So give your attention to them. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Those are God's words. And again, we come now to the last beatitude there on the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is preaching on the mountain. We found that every single beatitude from verse 3 to this passage that we look at now is true for the Christian. Every single beatitude is true for the Christian. There's not one that you can say, well, not that one. That's not true of me. Therefore, it's not true of all Christians. That's not how we judge this. We judge it based upon what Jesus said. He said, blessed in each one. Blessed are they. And as we've heard, you cannot choose which beatitudes you want to be true of your life and leave the others aside. They come as a whole, not as a series of options or opinions. It's the very Word of God. It's the Word of Jesus Christ here. Every Christian shows forth each one of these in various measures of God's grace. And now turning to the last one, you see again, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now think, beloved, of these words in this context of all Christians. Christians, are these to be persecuted? Shouldn't it be true of those we've looked at as we've gone through the Beatitudes? Shouldn't it be true of those who are poor in spirit? For those who mourn over their sins and are thus humbled and live lives of meekness? Longing after God's righteousness, showing mercy to others as He's shown mercy to us? Who are pure in heart and seeking after holiness and seeking peace between God and man? Would not such people be welcomed with open arms? Wouldn't they? Would the world we live in receive all followers of Jesus Christ with open arms? Shouldn't they? They should. To welcome us, to have no controversy with us. Is the world really that ignorant of the gospel that we would then think this? Our God communicates something different in His Word. as he does here in the verses before us today. John 15, he says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." And so we go two verses before that in John 15. John 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." Now we might ask first then, why is it that Christians are persecuted? All we need to do is look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why was He persecuted? Why was He constantly attacked and then tempted by the devil? When Jesus proclaimed among the Jews that He was Jehovah, He said, "I am." They took up stones to stone Him. John 8, right? Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. In John 10, when Jesus stated that He and the Father are one, He says, "There, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered Him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Right? He had said before in John 8, "I am." He's saying, "I'm Jehovah." And here He's saying He's one with the Father. He's committed, in their eyes, blasphemy. Because He's saying, "I'm God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of Him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. Therefore they sought again to take Him, but He escaped out of their hand, and He went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there He abode." And then, of course, leading up to the cross, He was betrayed by a close disciple, Judas Iscariot, who had been with Him for 3 years in close company. Betrayed! He had eaten bread with Him, and He lifted up, as the psalmist says, "He had lifted up His heel against me." Jesus was persecuted and being taken by the chief priests and the soldiers. He was mocked and they smote Him. He was blindfolded and struck on the face. They committed blasphemy to His face. Persecuted. And He was led then to Pilate, and there He was accused. And though no fault was found in Him by Pontius Pilate, nor His wife, He was treated by Herod's men as nothing and mocked by them, dressed in a royal robe as mocking Him. "Oh, you're a king, you're the king of the Jews." And so they dressed Him in a royal robe. The mob had a murderer released. Well, that same mob called for Jesus, who was perfectly innocent, to be crucified. He was crowned with the crown of thorns around and into His skull. And He was led to the cross there with the nails piercing through, all the way through His hands and His feet. And they still mocked Him there. And the way then you die on the cross is by crucifixion, right? Crucifixion is usually you die by asphyxiation or being suffocated. Because you'd have to pull yourself up And think of how one would have to pull himself up if the nails are in the feet and the hands. They had to pull themselves up to breathe. Otherwise, when left hanging there, they would not be able to breathe. They had to push themselves up. And so eventually the body gives out. And so it was with Christ. Christ dying from the great persecution. And all for our sakes, Christians, praise the Lord. Right? We have salvation in Christ's sacrifice, His atonement for us. So then why are Christians persecuted? Why was Christ persecuted? Because He is the God-man. And all those who rebel against God, those who rebel against Jehovah, all are hostile to Him. They're at enmity with Him. All are hostile with Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior. And the King. Right? Psalm 2, they rebel against Him. And Jesus Christ is righteous, perfectly and undeniably righteous in all His thoughts and words and actions. And we just prayed that we are not, in our thoughts and words and actions, we've sinned even this very day in every sin, guilty of all of them, except in Christ. And so if you're loyal to Christ, if you follow Him, remember chapter 5, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Chapter 8, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Chapter 16, then Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross. All the Christian sufferings, all the afflictions, all the persecutions for righteousness' sake, as it says in verse 10, every trouble for righteousness' sake that befalls the Christian, these are called crosses. Take up your cross. That this we bear in common with Christ. Every Christian has his cross, and he says here, to take up your cross. The cross, that persecution that comes upon the Christian is your individual cross in God's providence. And according to His eternal plan, He's given you that cross. He's given you that cross as He gave it to Job. The cross given to you. And of that cross, He says, take up your cross. Take it up. You must use it for His glory and for His praise. Take advantage of it for the gospel of Jesus Christ going to all nations and for His glory. You must say, and you're experiencing your cross, the many crosses you are given, and often they come as afflictions and sufferings. You must say, in one sense, this is an evil, but I will bear it because it shall work for my good. How many times in Acts, as we've read through Acts in the evenings, we've seen God's children persecuted. And their response to the persecution, that they were found worthy. They rejoiced and they were found worthy. They rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. How different that is than if we were trying to picture if we ourselves were persecuted. How would we respond? We'd probably complain and whine. But what did the followers of Jesus Christ do in Acts 5? It says, and to Him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They're saying, don't proclaim the gospel anymore, Christians. And they let them go, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were told, after they were beaten, not to preach the name, not to teach the name of Jesus Christ anymore. They kept preaching, and they rejoiced they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 13. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. Persecution. against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts, and they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with joy. They took up their crosses, beloved, and they followed King Jesus alone, not the other rulers, not the Jewish leaders, but they rejoiced being found worthy of, in God's plan, to suffer for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our calling here is to follow Christ and to be loyal to Him, loyal to our King. If you offer to Christ only lip service, and you're here doing that today, singing His praises, sitting and worshiping, hearing His word. And when trials come, though, affliction from others comes, persecution, and then you deny Jesus Christ. You deny Jesus Christ by not giving Him the glory. You deny Jesus Christ by not rejoicing in being found worthy to suffer for His name. When you deny Christ by, in your very words and your actions, you do not proclaim the gospel to those persecuting you. It's just lip service then. That's what you're doing. If you're not giving Him the praise, not rejoicing in Him, it's just lip service. Loyalty to Christ. Covenantal faithfulness, in other words, to Him, arouses the conscience, so that when persecutions come, you have two options. Follow Christ as He commands all of you here today to do. He says, follow Me, chapter 14, verse 19. Follow Me, or silence Christ. You will either be following Christ or you will silence Christ. Attempt to silence Christ by silencing Christians. How do you silence Christ today? You silence His servants. That's what the council in Acts was trying to do. And that's what we're commanded to do often. We're talking about preaching earlier in the Sabbath school or after Sabbath school today, and how there were many who have done that to me, right? Have tried to silence Christ. They're saying, you can't preach that. They've tried to silence Christ, not me, but Him. When the servants are sent into the vineyard by the owner of the vineyard, what happened? It says, and when the time of the fruit drew near, He sent the vine, the vineyard owner. He sent His servants to the husbandmen, those who were working for Him in the vineyard. He sent His servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took His servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, He sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Right? They took and beat and killed and stoned. Again. But last of all, He sent unto them His son, saying, they will reverence My son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And today, beloved, you are the servants. Of course, he's talking about the prophets. But today we're the servants. And Christ is the son, the heir. He came and He was killed for our sakes by them. Persecution. Persecution in subtle or less subtle forms is a result of faithfulness to Christ. In Romans 8, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. In 2 Timothy 3, but thou hast fully known My doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto Me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that's hard to hear, Christian. That's hard if you're a Christian to hear that. If you're not a believer, not a Christian, well, children, even some of you thinking, pondering this, children, if you should come to Christ, and you hear, well, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, then why should I come? Well, there are great news today that there is nothing that should stand in your way. It sounds like a hard Christian life, children. But no matter what they do to your body, there's nothing that they can take or damage in your soul. They cannot. If you would choose comfort in this life as we live on this earth for 70, 80, some 50, some 100 years. If you would choose comfort in this life, you will find an excruciating hell waiting for you forever. Forever. And you'll suffer unending punishments there. So think of eternity. Would you rather have minimal bodily persecution and suffering here and an eternity of suffering there? Or would you have hardship here, suffering and persecution here upon yourself, and an eternity of life and communion with Jesus Christ, where He promises, and He's always faithful, without pain, without tears and sorrow, and without death? Without persecution and suffering forever and ever. Would you not rather have that? Now, as we look at verse 10, again, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Notice the words, for righteousness' sake. If you are persecuted because you've committed a crime, you've broken God's law, you've sinned, because of that you are persecuted, then you're not blessed for that. You need to turn from your sins unto Christ today. Every single one of us needs to do this. If you are persecuted because in the midst of speaking the truth, you are arrogant and obnoxious and mean and abusive and out of control, then you must repent and turn to Christ today from your sins. He's talking here about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Suffering for righteousness' sake. Afflicted for righteousness' sake. Being persecuted while living a holy life. A godly life of integrity. And the kingdom of heaven, as Christians, I remember in seminary, and I had to work while in seminary in Mississippi, and the workers there had a laid-back work ethic. They didn't work very diligently or hard. And I was used to working diligently and hard on the farm that I grew up on. And those people were highly annoyed with me because I worked harder than they did. And they told me to slow down. Don't work so hard. But I remembered, again, I was a servant of the King. I was working for Him, right? There was no slowing down. There's no working less. The job I was supposed to do, being paid to do by the seminary, I worked and did work diligently, as far as I know. Sometimes not, but generally I did. And so it's the same in the kingdom of heaven. But when we're talking about persecution, greater things happen. We're to work diligently in following Christ every day as hard as we can, following after Him, meditating upon His law day and night, unceasing in prayer, living and proclaiming the gospel, all we come in contact with. And if you work diligently for the gospel, if you work diligently in following Christ, you will suffer. You will be persecuted. And if you're not being persecuted today, it's because you're not living faithfully unto the Lord for the gospel, for the sake of His kingdom. You're kind of being lazy. You work diligently for Christ. You live a holy life, even in the church. You live an exceptional, holy life, even in the church, and you're above and beyond more righteous and holy than other people. Not because you're trying to be more righteous and holy than other people, but because you're following Christ. You'll be persecuted even in the church. Because the church is filled with sinners. And they are jealous. We're jealous. But we need to grasp the reality here today of persecution. We got to grasp this reality that the Christian suffers, lest when it comes, we find discouragement. We follow a crucified Savior. We ought not to think it strange then when we ourselves encounter fiery trials, as Peter says in 1 Peter 4. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Think there of that passage. And we must not suffer as a sinner, as a murderer, a thief, busybody, evildoer, but suffer as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ in righteousness. And when we suffer so, when we're so persecuted for following Jesus Christ, for being those who follow Him in righteousness, we will then follow Him in suffering. Praise the Lord. You know, as you look at missions and the spread of the gospel throughout all nations in history, the gospel spreads most when there's the most persecution. Just look back in history and that's what you'll find. Generally speaking, the gospel spreads most when there's the most persecution. But you can rejoice because you've been found worthy of being a partaker in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. For their persecuting of you is a persecuting of Jesus Himself. Remember when Paul in Acts, he meets Jesus on the Damascus Road and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Jesus was never there who he was persecuting. He's persecuting all the Christians who are following Christ. And Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Our persecution is a persecution unto Jesus when it's for righteousness' sake. And it says here, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It goes back to the first promise in verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And now here we get the same promise again. And so you have like bookends. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Where we will reign with Christ. And in union with Christ, we will be kings and queens with Him. Praise the Lord. And what a promise, for there are many Christians who have been banished from their cities, from their states or provinces or whatever you want to call them. From nations they've been banished as citizens because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even if you're so banished and perhaps are even killed, put to death for righteousness' sake, yet heaven belongs to those who are citizens of His kingdom. Heaven belongs to them by the conquest of Jesus Christ, and that will surely make up for all of your losses and all of your pain and all of the death that happens for Christians and His people on earth. And so you might be banished from this nation, but you will always have a home with Jesus Christ in glory. Verse 11. It says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Or for my sake. It helps us further understand the persecution that's meant in verse 10. There are some Christians who believe persecution is only dying for the faith. Dying as a Christian. There are some who believe it's only bodily suffering. But here we see there are many types of persecution. Reviling. Abusive, angry insults. When they mocked Christ before the cross and at the cross. Persecution. When they called Him all sorts of names, our Savior was persecuted. To David in Psalm 35. "False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul." Right? David was persecuted. Jeremiah 2. "Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow that my days should be consumed with shame." And that was the covenant people of God who was bringing persecution upon him. Acts chapter 17. "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And you remember what they did? They threw him in jail. The Christians. Persecution. "And when they commit slander," it says here, "and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake," that they did with David that we just read. They do this, and thus we need to be wise as Christ's followers, because they'll trap you. They'll try to bait you, those people of the world who are naturally at enmity with all of God's people. They're hostile. It was there at the fall. There was always going to be a hostility and enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And Christians are of the seed of the woman, of Christ. Jude says, and I think it's like verse 18. Jude says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Ungodly sinners have spoken against His people hard speeches. "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Persecutions. You think of the cruel mockings in Hebrews chapter 11 of the faithful. It says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." Tormented. God's people, you need to know now that there is no evil so horrid to compare with that which has falsely been said of Christ's followers. If you take all that has been falsely said of Christ's followers since Christ came to the earth, even before of the prophets and things like this, those occasions, there is no such evil and horridness compared to all of it. And the command here is the same as we've seen elsewhere, verse 12. Rejoice. Where there's persecution, where you're persecuted, rejoice. Rejoice, verse 12, "and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You fear persecutions and sufferings. You fear bodily persecutions a lot. Some of you, verbal assaults. And that's why you fear evangelism, telling people the gospel. You fear men. You fear persecutions and sufferings. Here he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. It's in heaven. To all who come to Christ by faith, you will be persecuted, and great is your reward in heaven. It's in heaven, the future. But it is well secured. It's out of the reach of all those who would persecute you and revile you and say all kinds of evil against you. It's secure in God, in Christ. God will provide it. Those who lose all for Him, even if it be life itself, they will not lose their souls. They will not lose life forever. They will be with Him in the end. Heaven will be an abundant reward for all the difficulties that we meet on our way to glory. This is what has upheld suffering saints throughout the ages. The hope that we have in glory. And that's why he says, for your reward is the kingdom of heaven. And so you should know that if you are persecuted, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, then you should count it all joy, beloved. That you are not only found worthy to suffer in Christ and with Christ by His Spirit, but that you were persecuted just the same as the prophets of old, which were before you. Once again, we're called to follow Christ. And He says, follow me. Who will follow King Jesus and take up His cross in His kingdom? Or will you be found a traitor? One who, in the moment of suffering or persecution, when it comes, you go AWOL, missing, rebelling against the King, even though He died for your sins? It cannot be us. We have to seek to follow Him in all times and all ways according to His Word, and great will be your reward in heaven for all who follow Him in faith. No matter what comes upon you on this earth, great is your reward in heaven. It's great. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. It's not future. It's already guaranteed. It's sealed by the Spirit. It's yours. Even now. Guaranteed you. And so take up your cross and follow Jesus. He says here, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. We're thankful. We rejoice in all those times we look back when we were attacked for being your children. And there are some here who have never experienced persecution or suffering or affliction because they're new believers or they're not your children. Father, we pray that you would bring them to yourself and you would grow them in faith in Christ. Even of our children here, the younger ones, they may have seen their parents persecuted. And Father, we pray that you would give them comfort and hope and knowing that if they do come to Christ and they flee to you and follow after you, that they have the great promises we all do who are your children. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. That then we could rejoice when it happens. And so equip your saints now. Strengthen us, for we are weak. All of us here of ourselves would flee away when persecution comes. And so it is only that we are able to stand by your Holy Spirit, by your grace, in the moment of trial and suffering and persecution, that you stand with us and you give us that hope that we long for, in which we can stand firm on the great foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have a reward in heaven, and we can rejoice then when so persecuted. Equip us in these ways, for persecution is coming, a greater persecution surely is coming, and suffering for the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation. It's already in other nations. Father, we ask that you would equip us now for the suffering that is ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.